2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice verse 3. Here's my text tonight. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. How many believes that's about to happen? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. You think about that for just a minute. You know what makes heaven heaven? The presence of the Lord. I just now saw something right there I never thought about. You know what makes hell hell? The absence of the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. My, my, my. And from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray for just a moment. I want to look at verse 3. Father, I thank you tonight for the Word of God, and thank you, Father, for the people of God that are gathered here this evening. Lord, I realize tonight, our Father, that many of our precious people are hurting tonight. Their hearts are heavy. God, I do pray tonight you'd help us to ever be a church that would rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. I pray, Father, tonight that you would help us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Father, I realize tonight, Lord, that before the foundation of the world, you knew who would be here tonight. You knew what we would need. God, I believe with all my heart, you're fixing to supply that need. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I see a verse of Scripture right here where Paul says, we're bound. I mean, it's almost like Paul is saying, I know you all. And in knowing you all, I don't have any choice but to thank my God for you. I want you to see something here tonight. He said, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. Now that word meet, it means it's necessary. Because, now watch this after the because. This is really where the meat of the message is going to come from tonight. Because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. God, give me three things that I want to speak to you about tonight that causes Paul, because it causes Paul to thank God for the church at Thessalonica. And I don't think tonight that it would be a surprise to you to know that for these same three reasons, I thank God for this church. And I'll show you tonight what I mean. First of all, Paul was excited about something here. He was excited that their faith was growing. He said, what do you mean, preacher? The Bible said here, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Can I tell you, the Bible tells us over there to add to our faith. Brother Kevin, when you got saved the other evening, that wasn't the end. That was just the beginning. God wants us to grow. Amen. And I thank God that when we were young Christians, we had that hankering. That may not even be in Webster's dictionary, but you know what it is, don't you? We had a hankering for the milk of the Word of God. Amen. But I thank God that as we grow, we want some meat. Amen. From the Word of God. And Paul's excited about the church at Thessalonica because they're growing. The Bible said their faith is growing. And then the Bible used the word exceedingly. Let me give you something tonight. I believe this will be a blessing to you. But the Bible said faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. I guess I'm going to put it on the line tonight. How many believes when you come the Bible way, you're going to hear the Word of God? I'll tell you something right now. That's all God's men's got to preach is the Word of God. Amen. And I tell you, it's the Word of God that was being preached at Thessalonica that was causing the believer to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul's excited about it. He said, every time I think about you, church, I thank God for you. I'm bound to thank God for you because I see you growing in that faith. Let me give you some things tonight. The Bible uses the word exceedingly. Watch that right there. He said, because your faith groweth exceedingly. Stay with me just a minute. How many remembers Hebrews 11:6? So, preacher, what's the big deal about faith? It's a real big deal. Amen. If you've been saved 50 years, it's a big deal. If you've been saved 5 weeks, it's a big deal. It don't matter how long we've been saved, it's a big deal. Because the Bible said without it, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so tonight, let me just give you some things as the Lord spoke to my heart. First of all, we must experience faith before we can exceed in faith. You say, preacher, I don't know why you would mention that tonight. I'll tell you why. There's a whole lot of people in church in this generation that have never experienced faith. Amen. I don't believe there's any here tonight. If there is, I don't know it. But I'm telling you, churches across this land are full of people that are trying to exceed in the faith that have never experienced faith. They're trying to grow when they ain't never been born. And I believe with all my heart, once we get born and we experience faith, then we're in a good place to exceed in our faith, to grow in our faith. Now think about this. We must experience faith before we can exceed in faith. You see, but we're going to exceed in faith. But look what the Bible said here in verse number 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 8 and verse number 9. The Bible said, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Can I tell you, those that know not God, not all of them sitting on a bar stool tonight. Not all of them's in a crack house tonight. Amen. Not all of them's on the street on drugs tonight. Not all of them's in prison tonight, Brother Wayne. I'm telling you, there's some good moral people in Kingsport. It's going to split hell wide open because they've never experienced faith. They've never been born again. I'm going to tell you something right now. My grandfather used to say it like this. He says, when you got it, you know it. Amen. And when you know it, he said, it's a whole lot better felt than it is told. Amen. We try to put it in words. The Bible tries to put it in words. But I tell you, the Bible said, I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man the things which God
hath prepared for them that love Him. Notice what the Bible said here. And that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. These people in Thessalonica, Paul was thanking God for them because their faith was growing. They had experienced faith, and now they were exceeding in faith. They were living a life like John the Baptist said, He must increase and I must decrease. And that makes a life of faith. Amen. Now notice this secondly, the second statement the Lord gave me. Number one, we must experience faith before we can exceed in faith. And, I keep talking about Kevin a little bit, and I don't mean to embarrass him. I hope I'm not. But I'm bragging on the Lord in his life. Brother Wade said last night, I said he's different. You know what makes a man different? Experiencing faith. How many believe if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, you've experienced faith. God wants you to exceed in faith. Now, watch this now. He must increase. I must decrease. And now, watch this. We must exceed in faith before we can endure in faith. Let me show you something here. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. How many knows that the first time the road gets hard, a lot of people give up right there? Oh, they like it as long as things are going good in the church, going good in their life, going good at the job. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Here's a group of people. It's fixing to see some hard times, but they're going on with God. They're not only experienced faith and they're exceeding in faith, but thank God they're going to endure some hardship in the faith of the Lord. Watch what the Bible said in verse 4. The Bible said, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your beds of ease and rosy gardens. That's not what it says, is it? It says persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. I wonder what some of these TV preachers do with these verses. I'm going to tell you something right now. I thank God for the Christian life when it's all joy and when it's mountaintop. But can I tell you, there's another side of the Christian life. There's some suffering that goes on in the Christian life. Amen. We don't need to be like Job's three friends. Amen. We need to understand the Bible that, listen, when we live for God, there's going to be some hard times along the way. But thank God when we graduate. Amen. The hard times will be over. Notice what the Bible said. You suffer, seeing it as a righteous thing. Watch this. It's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, Paul said, rest. Rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. The book of Hebrews said it like this, there remaineth therefore a rest of the people of God. It's not resting time right now. It's cross-bearing time. It's not crown-wearing time. It's cross-bearing time for the glory of God. Now notice what the Bible said. Go with me, please, to the book of James. We must exceed in faith before we can endure in faith. Count it all joy. You see a person that's counting it all joy when the hard times come, when persecution comes, when those things that come in from the enemy like a flood, when that person that's counting it all joy, that's a person that's exceeding in his faith. That's a person that realizes the worst that we're ever going to experience, we're going to experience it in this life. Amen. The best is yet to come for the children of God. And by faith, we understand that. Notice verse 1 of chapter 1 of James. James, a servant of God, not a greater title in the whole wide world than to be a servant of God. And the Lord Jesus, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or tests, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You say, preacher, why is it? How many know I'm telling the truth? Some endure hardship and they go right on with God. And others go to the sideline and you never see them in the battle again. Because they experience faith. Some never even experience faith. But some experience faith and then they don't exceed in their faith. And when they don't exceed in their faith, they don't add to their faith virtue, and to virtue patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kind. When they don't add to their faith and exceed in their faith, then they have nothing to endure with when the hard times come. Okay, something right now. I believe God wants us to finish. Go all the way and finish well. He wants us, my friend, not to just experience faith, to exceed in our faith. And Paul's thanking God for this church. He says that we can count it all joy. We can endure in our faith. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, just a couple of verses real quickly. 1 Peter chapter number 4. The Bible said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." By the way, those fellows that get up and skip these verses and try to teach you that if you love God, you're going to drive fine cars and live in fine houses and you're never going to have any rough road down here in this world, I'm going to tell you something right now. They're the reason that a lot of people get out the first time that something happens. Amen. Because they've been taught a lie out of hell. Amen. I tell you, our Lord suffered and the Word of God said we ought to follow in His steps. Amen. I believe with all of my heart that Peter's got it right. He said, "Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." He said, "But rejoice." He said, "Preacher, that doesn't make sense to rejoice in all of that." Let me tell you something right now. Faith never has made sense. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said we can rejoice. Why? Because our faith is real. We've experienced it. We're exceeding in it. And now we can endure some things. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, the Bible told Timothy, endure hardness. Amen. How many's ever experienced a hard thing in your life? Amen. You didn't understand it. You can read the book of Psalms. A lot of it come down to the house of God. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, you didn't understand it. You heard something that was said. It touched you to the core. But I tell you, you can keep on going in faith. In faith, you can keep on going. And Paul is, my friend, thanking God for this church. He said, "I'm bound to thank God for you." Because their faith was growing. He said, "Think it not strange." Then verse 13, he said, "But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." You see, exceeding faith will produce exceeding joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Bible said, "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He's evil spoken of, but on your part He's glorified." But look at verse 15. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matter. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian..." In other words, there can be suffering in our lives that we've invited, that we've brought on ourselves. Amen. And the Bible didn't say to rejoice in that. But it says, listen, when it's living for God that's caused the trouble, rejoice. Amen. Rejoice. Amen. Because this world is not our home. Their faith was growing. We must experience faith before we can exceed in faith. We must exceed in faith before we can endure in faith. And then let me give you this. We must endure in faith before we can excel in faith. Let me show you what I mean. Turn back over there with me, please, to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. This, I'll tell you, it's a blessing to me to watch the progression of faith. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter number, 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, look at verse number 10. The Bible said, "When He shall come to be glorified." Look at those next three words. Somebody tell me how He's going to be glorified. Tell me them next three words. In His saints. Don't that blow your mind? That the likes of Him is going to be glorified in the likes of us. I'm telling you, that's when we excel, amen, in our faith. Watch what the Bible said here. And to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, to fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith and power. Watch this. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you tonight, I believe the best for the children of God is yet to come. I believe we've experienced faith, and I believe we can exceed in our faith. I believe when we do, we will endure in our faith. But thank God there's coming a day we're going to excel in our faith. Amen. I don't know about you, Brother Gale, but when I was in school, I didn't get many of them. But I tell you, at the top of that paper, when that teacher wrote, excellent, glory to God, I couldn't wait to get that home to show Mom. Say amen. I didn't get many of them. Wouldn't it be good one day to have him write, excellent, over our faith? Amen. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Their faith was growing. It caused Paul to thank God for them. Amen. Can you hear Paul in a prison cell praying for these churches? I tell you, he's thanking God. Always, he's thanking God for these people. He said, I'm bound to thank God for you. Their faith was growing. And I appreciate that. I don't know. I can't judge people's hearts. But I'm just of the opinion that around here there's some people growing in their faith. Amen. And I tell you, it blesses me. And it ought to bless you. Amen. And listen, Paul, he said, I can't help it. I'm bound to thank God for you. He said, always. And it's need, it's necessary, because your faith growth exceeds. The second thing I see in this verse right here, not only was their faith growing, can you see that? But secondly, their fellowship was glowing. What do you mean? Well, we've had that little saying going on around here all summer, keep the fire burning. Amen. I'm telling you right now, sometimes a fire just gets down, you know what I mean, to where there's just an ember or two. But I tell you what, if you'll poke it. Boy, good. This is good. If you'll open the diaper and give it a little air. Glory to God, if the Holy Ghost ever comes and blows on it. And somebody lays a log on it, amen. I tell you, it'll flame up again for the glory of God Almighty. Watch this. Their fellowship was glowing. You say, preacher, what are you seeing here? The Bible said this, that their charity. He said the charity, the love of every one of you all toward each other abounded. Listen tonight, we're wasting our time telling this community we love God if we don't love each other. We're wasting our time telling sinners that we love them if we don't love each other. And Paul said when he saw them, he could see that they loved one another. And Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, when you have love one toward another. I'll tell you something right now. If y'all don't love one another, you got me fooled. I've never, since I've been here, heard people talking about one another, cutting one another down. And by the way, I'll just go ahead and serve notice on you. I ain't going to listen to that no way. Amen. You start that over here. Amen. We might get out on our knees and pray for somebody. I might suggest to you that we get in a car and go see them. Amen. But I'm telling you, we need to love one another for the glory of God. Paul looked at this church and they were glowing, glowing. The fire was burning bright. Why? Because their faith was growing. But thank God there was a fire that was glowing. There was a fellowship that was glowing down in their heart. Now let me give you something tonight. You know, I just want to share something with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Turn back over with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. At one time in my life, I could quote this entire chapter. I'm afraid I couldn't do it now. But Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy. By the way, let me just say this to you. If I get in this pulpit and I don't love you, that's all I am, is a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Paul said, if I don't have charity, amen. Watch what he said in verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, he said, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, boy, that would impress people. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, he said, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. He said, preacher, what's that mean, charity suffereth long? That means real love will put up with some things. That's a good place for Sister Amanda to say amen right there, amen. I've seen her look over at Brother Lance, amen. I'm just picking on him, amen. I'm going to tell you what, real love will put up with some things. It'll suffer long. Watch what the Bible said here. I'm going somewhere, and it's kind. It envies not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. How many's ever seen somebody, a Christian, a child of God, behave themselves unseemly? Raise your hand. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever heard it? Have you ever witnessed it? I'll just tell you this much about it. It wasn't love. Say amen. It wasn't love. My flesh will behave itself unseemly. But that new man don't do that. Say amen. The Bible said here that doth not behave itself, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. I'm going to say this to you tonight. I don't believe there's a soul here like this. If you are, you can holler, oh me. Amen. There's some people that live to hear garbage. They rejoice in iniquity instead of rejoicing in the truth. Amen. I tell you something, if a preacher goes down, I don't care if he believes like we do or not, it's hurting the cause of Christ when he goes down. We shouldn't rejoice in iniquity. It ought to break our hearts. The Bible said, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, I personally believe that's the Word of God. It's going to be completed, Paul's saying. When it is, then that which is in part will be done away. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now watch. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now out of faith, how many believe faith is wonderful? Hope and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. I'm going to tell you something right now. Faith, real faith, will produce real charity. Paul is thanking God for the church because their faith is growing. Their fellowship was glowing. Let me just give you this. It's one thing when charity is abiding among the saints. And that's great. But Paul uses a word over there in 1 Thessalonians. It's not the word abiding, but it's the word abounding. In other words, it's not just that we have the love of God, but it's heaped and heaped. And heaped. And the love of God is having its way in our hearts and in our lives. And Paul said, listen, when I see that, there's a glow about the church of the living God. I believe with all my heart tonight, Paul had it right. He said, I see their faith growing and I thank God for them. I see their fellowship glowing and I thank God for them. Anybody know what Hebrews 13:1 says? I'm just curious. I know, Matthew, you might remember, I don't know. But I know what Hebrews 13:1 says. It says, let brotherly love continue. You know what would be good? It'd be good if everybody that's in this prayer meeting tonight would incorporate that into their prayer life. When you pray about our church, when you pray for our pastor, when you pray for the ministry of Bible Way Baptist Church, just pray, oh God, if you would, let brotherly love continue. Amen. Let us continue to love one another. Let us continue to not only to grow in our faith, but let us continue to glow in our fellowship for the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. Amen. How many believes that tonight? See, there's charity abiding, and that's wonderful. But when charity is abounding, that's even more wonderful. Look back there with me at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. He said here, as it is meet, or we are bound to thank God for always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of everyone. Well, think about that for a minute. He said, every one of you. Let me just say this tonight. It doesn't take the majority of us to mess it up. He's seeing love in every one of them. He said, preacher, I don't know what you just said. Well, let me explain it to you. Achan was not the majority, but he messed it up. He was just one man. He buried that stuff in his tent and he thought he had it hid. Amen. And a bunch of people lost their lives and the children of Israel lost the battle because of one man. You see, I think it's important to look at that. When Paul said, listen, when I look at this church, he said, every one of you, charity is abounding one toward another. You say, preacher, that's a tall order. I got news for you. We serve a tall Jesus. Amen. He's able to help us, amen, to love one another. I appreciate that. And I do love you, church, and I do believe you love one another. And I believe every one of you do. And I guess I just come tonight to take a poker and poke the ember and pray the Holy Ghost open the damper. And the love of God will be shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In case you haven't noticed, people are passing off the scene every day. Amen. Every day. And I believe tonight we shouldn't take one another for granted. What a fellowship while we're together. What a pray for one another while we're apart. Amen. And serve the Lord with gladness till He comes. I'm bound to thank God for you. The first two reasons are right here in this verse. Their faith was growing. And their fellowship was glowing. But here's the third reason that I believe that Paul thanked God for this church at Thessalonica. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 1. I'm not going to preach the whole chapter. Just get a thought. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. He said, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also, watch this, in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Not only was their faith growing and their fellowship was glowing, but Paul's thanking God for their faithfulness in going. They were going out into the area. Their faith was spoken of everywhere Paul went. Somebody was talking about them Thessalonican believers. Amen? That's not going to happen overnight. But I tell you what, I believe it's a worthy goal. That one day at Bloomingdale, it wouldn't matter where you went, somebody'd be talking about the faith that them people have down there at that church. Amen? You say, preacher, you're crazy. Well, leave me alone. I'm having a ball being a nut. Say amen. I believe we can do it for the glory of God. He said their faith is spoken of everywhere I go. Let me give you just three things hurriedly. Number one, it was a result of believing. They believed it. Say, preacher, I don't believe we can do that. Well, we probably won't then. They believed it. Look at verse 6. The Bible said, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. In other words, they were believers. Why was their faith spread abroad? Because it was a result of their believing. But their believing affected something else. It resulted in their behaving. Look at verse number 9, down through verse number 10. He said, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. How many turned to God from your sin? Whether it was an idol or not, you turned it. If you didn't, you didn't get saved. Amen. That's repentance. Amen. And the Bible said here that it was brought about by believing, but it also resulted in their behavior, their behaving. The Bible said in verse number 10, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised up from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We don't just sit around and wait, but we do behave. The way we believe will affect the way we behave. And if we believe that God still saves old sinners, then we'll tell old sinners about Jesus. Amen. And the Bible said their faith. He was thanking God for their faithfulness in going. Not only this, let me give you this. I believe this is important. It's a result of believing. That's why they go. It resulted in behaving. That's as they go. But it resulted in something else. And I think this is important. Sometimes we miss this. There are several reasons why we ought to want to see the lost saved. We ought to want to see the lost saved because if they don't get saved, they're going to face that eternal fire. That vengeance. We ought to want to see the lost saved because God wants to see the lost saved. Jesus died so the lost could be saved. But here's something I believe we miss sometimes. Watch this. Turn with me in your Bible over there to verse number 7. Look at verse number 7 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And then we're going to turn over to chapter 5. So that ye were in samples. You were an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and I'm almost done. The Bible said here, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus, of our Lord Jesus. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. Then Paul said, brethren, pray for us. Now listen to me just a moment. I believe it's a result of believing. I believe it's resulted in their behaving. But it resulted in something else. They were becoming. How many remembers the song? More. More. Like Jesus. I believe that one of the reasons that this church is being so... Paul is thanking them, thanking God so much for them. It's because not only does he see that they're growing and he sees that they're glowing, but he sees that as they go and as their faith is spoken of everywhere, they just keep on getting more and more and more like Jesus. You know, ultimately, that's the goal. The Bible said, ultimately, it's already been determined. Read the book of Romans. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. Amen? It's a done deal. But I tell you right now, as we walk through this world, one of the reasons God wants us to look in the Scripture and grow in our faith and glow in our fellowship is because as we do, we just keep getting more and more like Jesus. more of His saving fullness see, more of the One who died for me. How many believes that over there in 1 Corinthians 13, where I was reading about charity a while ago, reading about love, how many believes a whole lot of that stuff's a tall order? But Brother Brian, every time we exercise that in our lives, every time we exercise forgiveness, we forgive someone. We get a little bit more like Him. Every time we exercise a little bit of patience and long suffering, we get just a little bit more like Him. Every time when we're prone to be puffed up and we just humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, we just get a little bit more like Jesus. I don't know about you, church, but I know that I could stand to be a little bit more like Jesus. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? It ain't no wonder, is it? Paul said, I'm bound to thank God. Bound to thank God for you all. Amen. Your faith is growing. Feed it. It'll grow. Amen. Kevin, I ain't told you this yet. I'll tell you a lot of things if you hang around. But you better not just be getting Bible on Sunday and Wednesday. You better get Bible on Monday. Get Bible on Tuesday. Get Bible on Thursday. Get Bible on Friday. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. And Kevin's a new convert. These folks have been saved for years. Some of them ain't learned that. And they're weak in their faith. Amen. God wants to strengthen us. Amen. Brother Arnold, when we're like Him, we can suffer well. When we're like Him, we can suffer, but suffer well for the glory of God. One old preacher said, God's people die well. I like that. Amen. Amen. We know where we're going. Actually, Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Just going to change tense. Amen. Just change tense. Thank you for coming tonight. If that was just a little bit of the blessing that it's been to me today, you got you a little blessing. Amen. But I hope and I pray to God that I can make it from here to heaven. And every time I think of our church, I say, Lord, I thank you for my church. I thank you for, by the way, Baptist Church. Amen. And I tell you one thing that'll help that along is keep that faith growing. Keep that fellowship glowing. Amen. Well, Brother John come in about 4 or 5, maybe 6 Wednesday nights back. I thought he was mad at me. I mean, he had the molly grubs. Amen. He wasn't going to smile at nobody. He was so tired, he couldn't even smile. I didn't know why he was acting the way he was acting. So I just got out that old poker and poked him to find out why. Amen. I said, Brother, are you mad at me? He said, no, why? He couldn't hardly hold his eyes open because Brother Ralph had worked him to death over at Brother Anthony's. Amen. So you never know what people's going through. Amen. So don't just judge them. Just get out a poker of love and poke them. Amen. Find out what's going on. Amen. I tell you, it was good to go home that night and know he wasn't mad at me. Amen.